Good afternoon. Thank you. Starting with Mac Hollins, first thing with him was special teams. We felt like he was going to have a big impact and a big role on our special teams units, and he made an impact right away, and that's what kind of his primary position. And then he just evolved as he got more comfortable with the offense. He started playing a little bit more situational for us offensively, and did a nice job for us the entire season. Sheldon Gibson was another one that. Was a DAC pretty much all season, and then we just made a switch between him and Marcus Johnson, and wanted to see what he could do, get him up. He was a gunner for us on special teams. He was showing up a little bit, eager to play. Didn't get in on offense, obviously, very much with the depth that we had there, and just looking forward to both of these guys now returning in April and going to work again. Yeah, Flip had a big impact. I think it was a lot of he and Frank a little bit, but John is a great coach. He'll be missed, obviously, and wish him success. But the detailing the quarterbacks in the meeting rooms, on the practice field, the drill work, putting them in situations that are going to be game ready situations. And just the overall preparation from him, and then a little bit of game planning during the week. He helped us in the red zone with some of the game planning during the week. So great mind. He's been a coordinator before, and did a nice job with our quarterbacks. Again, wish him all the best. I'm excited for him going forward here in Indy, and I know he's going to do a great job. And what I lose with Frank is obviously the relationship we had for 2 years. He was the guy that I handpicked to be the coordinator, and really came in and just took charge, with the offense. And he's a great teacher. Again, putting game plans together. He and I collaborating on that with Mike Groh, with John DeFilippo, with Jeff Stoutland, just the overall coordinating of the offense and running meetings, running practices, and just preparing our team, the daily grind of getting our team ready to play on Sunday. Mike is, first of all, let me just say this. I couldn't have gone wrong with either he or Deuce. I talked to both those guys and at length. Felt comfortable, obviously, with Mike being in the coordinator's position. Again, sharp mind. He was involved in our passing game quite a bit. He's a former quarterback. Things of that nature. Just made a nice fit for me. And then Deuce is, promoted to assistant head coach, and which I think is well respected. I respect the heck out of Deuce and what he's done, what he's brought, and how he's managed that running back room, for the last 2 years, and some of the dynamic personalities in that room. And he does an outstanding job too with the run game, with Coach Stoutland. So I couldn't have gone wrong with either one of the guys, and so I feel very blessed to have them both. Coach, how much changes from Nelson Aguilar, and what kind of player is becoming for you? Well, the biggest change obviously was giving him an opportunity to play in the slot, and he really embraced that last spring and summer throughout camp. And it just takes a little bit of time. Him gaining confidence within the system. He works extremely hard before and after practice and during practice, and has really put himself in a great position going forward to be one of our top playmakers. And he's proven it. He proved it this last year, and he'll prove it again this spring and this season. So tremendous playmaker. I'm excited to work with him again, and just a great kid. What changes about this new time? Yeah, and one of the things I want to do with him is grow his input in the game planning a little bit. I know he's really involved with the run side of it, with Coach Stoutland and Eugene and Justin Peel. And then if there's a time that he needs to speak to the team, obviously in that position, he can do that for me. And just continue the day-to-day managing of that running back room. So not a lot's going to change, but we'll try to increase his role some. You know, after my first season, I just went back and studied the play calls. I studied, you know, how I called games, how I approached games, how I studied and prepared to get myself ready to play. And I think that's a big advantage to be able to do that after the first year of calling plays for the entire year. And listen, you know, my mentality, my philosophy is, you know, this opportunity is only going to come around probably once, you know. And I'm going to make the most of it. And listen, I'm going to do what's right by our football team. I'm going to make sure our guys are in position to be successful. I'm not going to do anything crazy or you know, anything like that. But I just feel like if I don't trust the guys, if I don't trust the team, the players, how are they going to believe in me as a coach? You know, and so I put a lot of ownership on the team this past season, and I also put some ownership on myself in making sure that I was going to maintain that aggressiveness throughout the entire season. Well, the biggest challenge is just getting your own study time in, because of all the other things that you have to do, you know, leading the football team, you know, meeting with doctors, meeting with Howie, you know, personnel department, meeting with the president, meeting with the owner, those types of things that can take away your time during the week. And it's just finding time to get your own study and preparation in and being in a position to help your team. You know, that's the one thing if I ever get nervous about a game, it's, you know, how well did I study during the week? And I think that's the biggest challenge for a head coach who calls plays is being able to do that for his football team.
Now that you guys have access to the player tracking data that you're going to have, how do you anticipate that will help you keep players fresh and on?
Yeah, you know, listen, obviously that's going to be a great resource, but I can come to you and ask you, how do you feel? And you're going to tell me. And I can see it on the practice field. I can see, having spent 14 years in the locker room, I can see when the team needs a break. I can see when a player needs a break or through GPS tracking. You know, he's running a ton, and I need to back him down, whether it's in OTAs or training camp. So all the information is going to be great, and it's going to be something that I think each team and each coach and each organization is going to have to sort of, you know, kind of swim through the amount of data and just find what works. Find what works for your football team and find what works for your guys and use that. Use that to your advantage. But at the end of the day, I'm a big believer about communication and just going to guys and looking at them straight in the eye and say, hey, JP, how you feeling today? You know?
Doug, it's been a little over almost a month now. Have you had time to catch your breath?
You know, it's funny because, you know, I say it's funny. It's, you know, I catch the game. I get home at night, whatever, and I'm sitting there. We're watching TV, my wife and I, and we flip through and flip it to the NFL Network or HBO or something, and you catch the game. And I've done that about four times now. Not that I'm searching for it, but it's just on. And so I go back through the game, and it's just like, did we win? You know, one of those things. But, you know, for me, it was a great way to just kind of sort of analyze the game from afar and just make sure that I was doing everything possible to help our team win. We did win. We had a chance to, you know, kind of get through that week after. And then, you know, I gave the coaches a week off just to kind of – it's been 20-plus weeks since we've had a break. So took a week and just kind of got away from it and got back a couple weeks ago and you know, we're ready to go. So – we're energized, we're jazzed up and ready for the season.
Is Nick going to have a say in what you do with him? In other words,
Well, I think you got to have that conversation. You know, again, I'm a big believer. You just don't blindside a player like that if that happens. I think you got to have that open communication with him. And you know, we'll see. We'll see where it goes. You know, Howie just mentioned, you know, we'd love to have everybody back, you know, but we know the nature of the business. So, but yeah, we'll talk about it before if and when that time comes.
Do you have a sense of his preference?
Nick, you know what? We didn't get into that after the season. It wasn't the time, you know. We were just kind of coming off the high, and so we haven't really discussed it.
You mentioned earlier that trust you have in the players and in the locker room. easier to bring on a guy who may have background issues or off the field things as far as in the draft class?
It does. You know, there are a couple things. I mean, you know, we have to pay attention, obviously, to our city and our fans and the respect there. But the culture is established, and our veteran players understand it. And so anytime – a great example is Jay, you know, Jay Ajayi, and bringing him in, you know, midseason like we did. And you know, the guys embraced him, loved on him, rallied around him, and he was tremendous. He was, you know, pivotal in helping us win that championship. So, you know, with a culture like that, you can do that. You can maybe take a gamble here and there, and you know, have a guy come into your organization that's coming into a winning championship organization, and they seem to sort of change their ways in a hurry, and that's again empowering the rest of the team to help provide that sort of that nurturing.
And how much of the conversation you have here with guys, how much does that weigh into your ability to say, you know what, his talent is better than his background?
Well, it's going to happen every year that way, but you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever, you just don't get enough time. So you got to spend time even after these meetings, you know, to dive into a person's background. We can obviously put the tape on and see the talent level on the field, but you know, it's off the field stuff that we want to make sure that we're getting good character guys that fit us. Now every team's different. Every, you know, our DNA is different than Dallas or Washington or the Giants in our division. So we want to make sure that we got guys that fit that, and you know, most of it's done after this meeting. You know, we got to get better just continuing. I think overall, you know, special teams, we can get better there. You know, and it's not about scheme. It's not anything other than that, just getting better. You know, we had a lot of young guys play, and it's going to help us this year having those young guys, you know, back. The Mac Hollinses, as we talked about, the Shelton Gibsons, guys like that are going to go into year two. So they will get better. So that's an area that we can continue to improve. You know, we just got to continue to do the little things too. You know, our red zone. We got to continue to have success in the red zone, I think. And then, you know, just overall managing the roster as far as, you know, guys. We understand this time of year we're about to start free agency here in a couple of weeks, and guys are going to come and go, and it's about finding guys that fit our culture, getting them into the building, getting them caught up to speed when OTAs start. And just continue to manage it that way. You know, there's no substitution for hard work and preparation. I'm a big believer in that. And so from my standpoint, it's, you know, once we get going this week, we're on to 2018, and everybody's 0-0.
Two more questions.
It's a little of both, a little of both. I mean, listen, you're playing, you know, playing the top quarterback in the National Football League, and Tom and what they can do over there on offense and weapons all over the place. And you know, we went back and looked at it, and it's just, some of it's just assignment error, whether it be just the emotions of the game or what it might be. And those are all correctable, fixable. It's nothing really to be alarmed about, and it's a great teaching opportunity for us now when we get into the off season to go back and for the defensive guys to really go back and dive into that and see where they made the mistakes.
Coach, down the stretch of the season, what did you see out of Corey coming in? Is there any
opportunity? I thought Corey did an outstanding job. You know, he undrafted, free agent, came to our team, worked hard in the off season, put himself in a position to play. Special teams player, you know. The thing is, I think going forward, his role possibly on special teams could expand a little bit more. Obviously, in the offense, you know, with Jay and the guys we have, you know, it could increase some, you know. We don't know until we start practicing and seeing how the roster shakes out. But was real impressed with him and some of the plays he made down the stretch, even throughout the course of the season, the catch in the end zone, you know, in the Super Bowl. And really a couple catches in that Super Bowl game to really stand out the way he did for a rookie player. I'm really excited about his future.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, guys. Thanks.